We need to remember that Satan, he's really a master at twisting the Word of God. You see that all the way through the Scriptures, don't you? All the way from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan twists the Word of God.
What are the greatest risks to living in your community? Most people would include natural disasters like a hurricane, flood, earthquake, or tornado. Others would add human factors like a drunk driver, a burglar, or a terrorist attack. But very few people around here would put a lion on that list, even though one particular lion is the most dangerous creature of all. Welcome to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Bible says that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a raging lion, seeking whom he may devour. Pastor J.D. would like to share some good advice on how to protect yourself from that beast. So let's join the congregation of Calvary Chapel and listen to the message, Lion on the Loose.
So that everyone knows, hey, I'm home and this is my territory. And watch out. It's a warning to the others. I'm here, my territory. And he marks it with a roar. And I've heard that the roar of the lion is so mighty and that it is so powerful that it can be heard by the human ear from a radius of 5 miles. The roar of a lion. Have you ever thought about the world being the territory of Satan? Have you ever considered that this world that we live in, really, essentially, it is Satan's territory, at least for now? 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul tells the church, he said that Satan is the god of this world. Now, this does surprise some people, especially since we sing the song, well, this is my Father's world. Listen, it is our Father's world in that he created all things. And he created all things for his pleasure, but Satan has usurped the authority on this earth, and he has taken control of the system. When we talk about Satan being the god of this world, what we're referring to is that Satan is the god of this world system. He is the reason why we have wars. He is the reason why people murder. Satan is the reason why people hate other people. Every bad worldly virtue has Satan at its root because, as Paul said, he is the god of this world, and this world is Satan's territory. And what that means for you and I is that we live in lion country. And that's why Peter's giving this warning to the church. Maybe you've seen the signs, watch out for the bears. Well, Peter's warning us to watch out for the lions. There's a lion on the loose. And so we have the warning, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, beginning with verse 9, Peter gives to us the weapon. I said there's 2 points here. Number one, the warning. Second, the weapon. We do need a weapon. Praise God, we have a very powerful weapon. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And I love that word, mighty. As you know, we think of a lion, a mighty lion, but our weapons are mighty weapons, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Though Satan is not toothless, and yes, he's a dangerous predator, I see no place in the Bible where the believer is to fear Satan. We may respect his power. We may respect him as a dangerous predator, but I see no place in the Bible where it says that you are to fear him. The apostles didn't fear Satan. The angels of heaven don't fear Satan. Jesus certainly did not fear Satan. In fact, it's Satan who fears the name of Jesus. Look with me at Peter's command to us, verse 9. Resist him steadfast in the faith. James writes in James chapter 4, verse 7, he said, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee. Satan will flee. That means Satan is the one that can be put on the run. Now, that is the same command that Peter gave, essentially, but James tells us that resisting Satan will cause him to actually run from you. Resist Satan. Both James and Peter are telling believers to put that lion on the run. Put him on the run. Resist him and he will flee from you. Now, the one requirement for resisting Satan is given to us by Peter. Look again at verse 9. Resist him steadfast in the faith. You know what that reminds me of? Last week when we were talking about wisdom, you know, and it said, you know, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, but let him ask in faith. Strong faith, believing faith, trusting God, believing God. And so the same command here is resist Satan, but be steadfast in the faith. You see, that is crucial to resisting Satan effectively, is strong, steadfast faith, trust, confidence in God. In fact, that is what the word steadfast means. It just simply means to be strong. We resist Satan in our faith. In fact, over the past weeks, you will have noticed, every study we've had deals in some way with strong faith. We need strong faith. It's just the reoccurring theme in our study about patience and about wisdom and about trials, is that as we go through everything in life, we need to have strong, steadfast faith. You know, as long as you doubt God, if you doubt God, if you don't trust God, you're never going to experience, you will never live the victorious life that Jesus Christ has for you. You can't do it. You must have strong faith. And Peter writes, resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, that's one thing that Satan can't stand up against. He can't stand against strong faith. Let me give you some examples, though, of how we resist Satan being strong in the faith. First of all, number one, we resist Satan by rebuking him. We rebuke Satan, not in our name. I don't know where people get it that you can just go out there and just start rebuking Satan. Listen, we have no power, no authority within our own name. It comes through the name of Jesus. And so that's why in Jude 1:9, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You know, this is a puzzling passage to many, because it would appear that one angel, Michael, showed some degree of respect to the position or power of another angel, the devil, a fallen angel, and yet he said, the Lord rebuke you. I believe the lesson here for you and I is never go up against Satan alone. Don't go up against Satan alone. You see, you and I are no match for the power of Satan. On the other hand, Satan is no match for the power of Jesus. He's no match. And we've been given the authority in the name of Jesus to rebuke Satan, and so we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. You remember the 70 who went out in Luke 10:17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In your name, they are subject to us. I read about a little boy. He was always going next door to play, even though his mom had warned him against doing so. This worried his mom so badly that she asked him why he was so disobedient. Well, he replied that Satan tempted him so bad, he just didn't know what to do. Well, his mom then advised him to rebuke Satan and say, get behind me, Satan, whenever he's tempted. And then she built a fence around the house. This worked actually for about a week, and then one sunny afternoon, his mom looked out the window, and there was the son playing on the neighbor's lawn after having cut a hole in the fence. Jeremiah, she yelled, come here. She then said, did I not tell you to say, get behind me, Satan, whenever he tempted you? Well, yes, the little boy replied. I said, get behind me, Satan, and then he went behind me, and he pushed me through the hole in the fence. Good one, huh? You know, when you're being tempted, sometimes you just don't know what to say. Maybe there's not even a scripture that comes to mind, you know, when you're in that moment of temptation, and you just don't know how to respond. These are words you can always take and you can use, and those are the words, Satan, get behind me in Jesus' name. Those were the words that Jesus used. He said, Satan, get behind me. I want nothing to do with you. You offend me. Get behind me. And you resist Satan by rebuking Satan in the name of Jesus. And second, we resist Satan when we refute him with the word of God. We rebuke him, we refute him. This is the manner that Jesus used when Satan came against Jesus while he was in the wilderness. And we need to remember that Satan, he's really a master at twisting the word of God. You see that all the way through the scriptures, don't you? All the way from the very beginning when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan twists the word of God. And in order for us to resist him, we must refute him with the word of God. But we need to know the word of God. Satan whispers in your ear, and Satan would say, you know what? You are a guilty, condemned sinner. You've messed up. You've messed up your life. You're guilty and you're condemned. And you know what? It sounds right. It looks right. And at the moment that we fail, it even feels right. Guilty, condemned sinner. But it's not right. It's a little truth mixed with a big lie. You see, the Bible says that yes, we are guilty. We are guilty sinners, all of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is you, that is me, that is the entire world. We are all sinful people. We're all guilty. But as a believer, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, when Satan is whispering in your ear and he's saying, you're guilty, and you're guilty and condemned, we need to come back. That's an attack. That's an accusation. And we need to come back with the right word, the real word of God, the true word of God, the whole counsel of God, which says, you know, yes, you're guilty. But you're not condemned only because of Jesus Christ, who you are in Jesus Christ. A third way that we resist Satan is to refuse him. We rebuke him, we refute, and we refuse. Satan is always going to be knocking at the door right here in the mind. It's been said that it is the mind that is the devil's playground. You and I, you know, we can choose whether or not we are going to open the door and let him play. It's a decision that we make. The question is then, how is it that I am to refuse him? He's an effective, he's always comes with a great sales pitch, doesn't he? He knocks at the door and he makes it look so good, so enticing, like, yes, come on in, Satan. You know, it's not that he dresses like Satan. He's not wearing, you know, a red suit with a pitchfork. No. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light. He makes himself look good. He makes himself look attractive. And so when he knocks on the door of your mind, it can look good and it can look attractive. And you can say, come on in. And you're not even aware necessarily that what you're doing is you're inviting that angel of light to come in and play with your mind. So how do I refuse him? How do I refuse him? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, the key here is to keep your mind occupied with good thoughts. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. The idea of meditating is that we are to be continually thinking about right things. Now listen, if I'm watching trash, if I'm reading trash, if I'm listening to music that's trash, how is it that I can keep my mind on that which is good? How can I be thinking about that which is praiseworthy and pure and noble? You see the warning to us here? Whatever is good, praiseworthy. No, think on these things. You've got to make the effort. You have to decide, what am I going to listen to? What am I going to watch? What am I going to allow into my mind? And what you allow is going to have a great deal of effect on how you can or cannot resist him. Because if you're allowing garbage in, listen, so easy for him to come and to knock. You say, come on in, play. But if your mind is full of that which is good and right and noble and praiseworthy and lovely, and you just fill your mind with those things, listen, he can come and he may knock, and you say, you know, there's no room for you in here. I'm filled up. There's a fourth way that we can resist Satan, and I think this is a real obvious one. Anybody know where I'm going with this one? The three-letter word. Now, you already know it must start with an R. Run! Run! There are situations that you're going to come into where the only reasonable form of resistance is to run. Joseph ran when Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce him. In that situation, there was no need for a rebuke. There was no need for a refute. There was no need for anything other than to run. You know, it's been said sometimes the best way to resist Satan is a good pair of Nikes. Run. Amos 5:14, do what is good and run from evil so that you may live. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul to Timothy, flee, run also from youthful lust. Now let's just summarize for a moment. We are to resist Satan. This is all an act of faith, by the way. When you everything we've talked about thus far, it's all grounded in faith. Refuting, rebuking, resisting, you know, refusing. It's all about faith. We rebuke him in Jesus' name. We refute him with the word of God. We refuse him with right thinking. We run from him with a good pair of Nikes. And I believe in this last half of verse 9, Peter's simply encouraging the church. Let's look together. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, just take a look around you today. Look at who's sitting next to you. Look who's, you know, in front of you or who's behind you. They are your brothers, they are your sisters in Jesus Christ, and they are going through the same things that you're going through. Maybe not in the same way, maybe not the same circumstances, but none of us are immune to Satan's attack. The warning is for all of us. And so Peter, he's saying, knowing that the same sufferings, and listen, there is a suffering that goes with the attacks and the assault of Satan's. It is a suffering. This is one of the reasons why we do need to stand together as believers. We're all going through some form of suffering as a result of Satan's relentless attacks. Pardon me, relentless attacks. And one of the most important ministries I believe that you and I, we can participate in and we can share in is just simply the ministry of prayer for one another. I like how Peter uses this word brotherhood. The person beside you, your brother, your sister in Christ, and they experience the same battles that you experience. Stand with them in prayer. As believers, we are not to be solitary in the body of Christ. That's why it is a body. We stand together. We pray together. Jesus set the example for us, and he told Peter, I think this is where Peter got this from, Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, this is Jesus speaking, Simon, Simon, that's Peter, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know one of the reasons, you know God does allow Satan to assault us, and one of the reasons that he's allowed is simply that we might have compassion on each other. We go through these assaults. We experience temptations. We're brought down at times. But it serves to enable us to have compassion on each other. That we understand that, you know, we all have this nature. It's difficult. And Satan is after us, and we need to understand that about each other, that none of us are immune, and so we stand with each other. That's what the body of Christ is for. And we pray for each other. We intercede. And we need to take that ministry with one another seriously. Don't just come and listen to the Word of God. Don't just come and say, well, I got my message today. I'm going to go home. No, listen, you're in this body of believers because you are brotherhood, your family. You belong together. And God has given you a responsibility towards each other to be praying for one another, understanding that we do live in lion country. And prayer is effective. And let me tell you, you'll notice that Jesus said that your faith should not fail. You know what faith is to Satan? It's the intestines. It's the intestines. You see, if he can get you there, he's effectively devoured you. That's what he's after. That's why we've been talking over these past weeks about faith and building and growing in faith and being strong in your faith, because that is what he wants to use to bring you down, is if he can cause you to distrust God, to lose confidence in God, to lose hope, to lose faith in God. And he's got your intestines. And he's devoured you. And so we pray for each other, and we need to pray just as Jesus said, I'm praying for you, Peter. I'm praying for you, Peter, that your faith should not fail. You want to know what you can pray for me? You can pray for me that my faith would not fail ever. And I can pray for you that your faith would not fail. And we can pray for each other that our faith would be strong, and that we would grow in our faith, and that our faith would never fail. And pray for each other. And let's put this loose lion on the run. Amen? Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word through Peter. And Lord, the warning that he has given, but not just the warning, Lord, we thank you for the weapon that you have given to us, the word of God and faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And Lord, that you give us your word and you build us up in this word and you empower us. And so, Lord, as there are people that have come in today with all types of issues in their lives, and some of them, yes, are under attack. They've been under attack this week. They will be under attack over the weeks. Lord, may they stand strong in the faith, resisting, refuting, rebuking, refusing, running. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one thing I'm certain of this morning is that there is at least one of you, and maybe more, that feels as though they are already in the jaws of the lion. You feel as though he's already brought you down, that he has already gone for the intestines, and he's having a meal. And sometimes you can just see it on a person's face. You know, there's no joy. There's no happiness. There's no victory. And you're just coming, and you're just kind of in a state of you're just existing. But it's not the life that Jesus has for you. That's not the life that he desires for you. And so we will have men here at the front, or women, will be praying for you. And you will discover that when people come around you and begin to pray for you, that those that hold of Satan that he may have on you, you know, he's got to let go, because he cannot take the name of Jesus. And so you come down and allow these men and pray for you. Whatever's going on in your life, listen, you don't have to leave here in the jaws of the lion. He must release you in Jesus' name. And so I would encourage you, don't leave here. If you're under attack and you need prayer, you come down to the front, and yes, we will pray for you.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.